Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. There's also another element, and you briefly touched on it, on the dip of the glove. Now, we understand that there's different material that they can dip the glove with, but there's also different types of dips. What are those, and what's the importance of them?
Yeah, the main ones, as I say, it's latex. Latex give you quite a good grip. So a guy that work in a warehouse that have to carry boxes, or that wherever you work, it's important that you grip something strong. Latex is your best. Then when it's more for, I will say, in a manufacturing plant, you will go more to nitrile, where it can resist a little bit of oil, and it's still grip well in that environment. But also you have the material of, it's a nitrile coat, nitrile rubber coating, but you can manufacture it in different ways. You can make a smooth nitrile, you can make a sandy nitrile. A sandy nitrile will give you more grip than a smooth nitrile. So a smooth nitrile is very good to work with, give you very good dexterity, but it also, when it get wet, it's slippery. Where your sandy nitrile is a bit less dexterity, but it gives you quite good grip when it's a bit wet.
Okay, so there's definitely a lot of considerations from there. And why would you have half or the bottom piece just dipped, and sometimes the whole glove dipped? What's the reason for that from a glove point?
You know, your first or most of your work is basically done with the front part of your hand, so you need that. To keep the back part open helps to with evaporation. You know, your hand is not getting that sweaty and uncomfortable. The more you cover the hand on the backside, the more you get a lot of water inside the glove. So there's different ways to do that. So you will make a half dip on the back. That still helps with breathability. But the reasoning for that is more just that when you work in a wet environment, it's more that you can work with it with less of your hand getting wet.
Okay. Could we then assume that if your hand is going to sweat, just like it's difficult for that water to get out, it's also difficult for water to get in on a glove.
Get in on a glove, yeah.
Okay, cool. Learn something new.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think another thing on the dips that's very important to understand is the dip is not always the protection. The shell also sometimes is the protection. And where the shell is the protection, the dip is not much of a protection. Like in a cut-resistant glove, the shell is what gives you protection. The dip there is just to help you to also have a bit of better grip. And where in the other environments where you have the polyester shell gives you very little protection. It's more the dip that gives you the protection.
Do you find people don't get that? Because, I mean, from what you've already explained, if it's the nitrile coating or the PU coating, that's not a strong material in terms of cutting. So do people misconceive that the dip is actually the protection in a cut-resistant glove? Do you find that?
Yeah, definitely. Because this is, or as I see it, it came secondary in the path of development. People think the dip part is what protects you. Yes, and it protects you 90% of the time, but especially in cut, especially in puncture resistance, heat resistance, the dip is of less important than the shell itself. These people will cut through the front part of the glove, they will see a cut in the nitrile and think, oh, this glove is not protecting me. But it's the yarn underneath that dip that protects you from a cut side.
And I'd assume even into abrasive. I mean, polyurethane isn't necessarily abrasive. It's a grip. That's what the bottom piece is for, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, if you take polyester yarn, the abrasion resistance is minimal when it comes to steel or to, you know. So your coating is what gives you the abrasion. When you work with rough surfaces, with surfaces that is slippery or any of that, your dip is what gives you the protection. It's more when it comes to the technical side, where it is then a cut or a puncture, where the shell is giving you the protection.
Cool. So the dip is for making sure you've got the right amount of control, or you can grip whatever it is, but it's also providing a certain level of protection. But the deeper level of protection is actually within the glove itself, the shell.
When it comes to the technical side, yeah.
Cool. Does the fit matter? Because, I mean, I've never actually had to look at the size. I just kind of get given a glove and off I go and work. Is there big size differences, and is that something people should take into account?
Yeah, the fit helps a lot in all aspects. If you don't have a glove that fit nice or fit that you feel you want it on your hand, the space that you work or the work that you do, you don't have that nice feel in your hand that you can, as you grab a piece of wood or as you pick a piece of steel up or anything like that, it's not that you don't trust almost the glove. You want to work with your hand that you can trust more in this sense. So the fit is, I've seen people that work with gloves that is a size 9, their hands is about a size 7. So there's quite a big piece sticking out in front of the fingers. And to work with that, so the glove get in the way of working almost. So the productivity is also not as good as it can be. So the fit of the glove, I will say, is almost the number one thing for you. And then the problem that we have in South Africa especially is very little of the brands or very little of the ranges of gloves have a smaller size or quite a bigger size. So we make a size 9, 10 and 11, and that's the three sizes that we work with. So if you're a lady with small hands, you will get your size 9, which is an average hand glove, and that's what you have to work with. So one of the developments I think that we have to look into in South Africa is to get more a size range, definitely.
Especially with all the movement towards, obviously, women in safety. I mean, that's a huge movement. So,
yeah, I think it's very important to accommodate them also. But there's quite, you know, if you look at different regions, there's quite men also that have small hands. And if we can supply a glove that will fit correct, we'll definitely get more productivity out of it.
So each industry would obviously have to select a glove that's actually fit for their operation or their task. Let's quickly run through a few. So in industry which is construction, let's say you were responsible for the safety of the people that need to move bricks. what would you give them, or what would you consider when giving them hand protection?
Yeah, bricks is one of the most difficult things to work with. If we take it from a construction site, you will not move that many bricks. So you will look at good abrasion. Normally your nitrile or a very thick latex glove will work. So the construction site also make it quite difficult to, because it work with a lot of different materials. So to get one glove that can do this, the work for every job, can be a bit difficult. But yeah, nitrile with quite a strong abrasion resistance, I think will work for you in a construction site.
Then let's talk about, maybe we're working with the manufacturing plant and they need to move steel sheets. What would you advise them from a glove protection or hand protection?
Yeah, first of all, you will look at cut resistance. I think that's your most important. What happened where most of your cuts, injuries come from, is from a slip. So if you can have a cut resistant glove from a material point, and then a very good grip like a latex or a sandy nitrile dip that will give you grip, so you will have less of slips, I think that will be a good fit.
Cool. We now go to mining. So in the mining industry, they often have to replace, call it crane components or components that are quite oily, or maybe on a truck. How would they approach it? What would you offer there?
Yeah, there you also normally have a problem that, you know, you need quite durable or thick protection, but you work also with, you need quite a bit of dexterity, and then everything is slippery. So a chemical glove, first of all, but normally a chemical glove don't have any coating on it. There's developments now that to put coating on a chemical glove. So I think if we talk latest technology, it will be a chemical glove that you know which withstand certain chemicals that you are working with, and then that have a good grip.
Cool. So just through that, my mind was just thinking the whole time, I mean, you're dealing with bricks, you're dealing with steel sheets, small components. Hand fatigue must become part of that conversation. And I would assume if the grip is appropriate, it probably fatigues the hand a little less. Is that the correct train of thought?
Yeah, it's tested and tried over and over. You know, if somebody throw you a box of crisps, it's not much to handle, but after a while and every time you must press harder to grip this box to move it, then it's texting on the whole body. So if you have very good grip, it's much easier actually on your hand and your arm to handle it. So the grip is quite a good important part. Yeah.
Are there any misconceptions that you find in the industry specifically to hand protection, which you would like to highlight? Because maybe somebody's heard that from, that's how we've done it in the past, or that's the tales that have been kind of passed down from who they learned from. Are there any of those that you would like to bring to light?
Yeah, I think, you know, come to mind is, I don't know why, but when we talk about gloves and fit for purpose safety, people think of indestructible. You know, if you say, listen, this is a cut resistant glove and it's really good, the first thing they take out is a carpet knife and cut that thing into pieces and say this is not cut resistant. We didn't say it's cut, it protects you against all cuts. That's why there's a standard, there's a test. So it will, if you work, and the protection that you will get is to the level that that love is made for. It's definitely not indestructible. That's one of the things that it's almost a mentality of that, yeah, but you're selling me an inferior thing if it's not indestructible. That if we can understand the standard, if we can understand what it's made for, and then apply the protection to the job, I think that's what's important.
Cool. So the sheet metal, for instance, it's not like you're carrying a blade, you're carrying a sheet metal which can slip and cut you. It's a different protection versus carrying around a samurai sword. The other one that I'd be quite interested to understand is, have you ever seen real life example of substandard products being used, and what did that look like?
Yeah, the what you get, especially in heat protection, and as we explained in the leather industry, that you get quite a bit of different qualities. People say, okay, here's a heat-resistant glove. They don't look at the thickness. They don't look, can it really protect you to a certain degrees of heat? And the guy must just use it. So it's important that to help the oak on the ground that's really using the product, that he have a product that will protect him against what you give him to do. And in the leather industry, there's definitely, you buy the ready glove, but there's different thicknesses, there's different qualities, and to always make sure you have a good quality product, you will pay a little bit more, but it's definitely better to have that.
Cool, and that comes full circle to making sure from the leather, you have control of that process.
Yeah, that for us, that's we couldn't work without that to control it from the beginning. Otherwise, we couldn't find any guarantee that you will get the correct product. Yeah,
fantastic, cool. So I think just to close off, it sounds like you obviously there's a lot of things that are in motion in terms of advancement in the knitted glove. Do you see that industry or that specific range evolving in the future, or how do you see that going?
Yeah, it evolves definitely. I think especially on the specialized side where you look at the anti-vibration, the impact and the cut and heat, I think on that side there's quite a bit of developments that is quite new and will develop more to a specific need. You know, your knitted glove have the option that you don't, you can almost get a glove for a much more focused need than a more general need. And the development is more and more in that focus for a specific use.
Awesome. Niels, thank you so much for your time today. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But I definitely think there's going to be a further conversation because I think we've just touched the surface, and I hope it's really valuable to anybody that is listening. And when selecting a glove, start understanding it's more than just that one looks pretty, that one's a certain color, making sure that it's appropriate for the job being done. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.